reflecting back on 2017 or reflecting back on any year, standing at the threshold of a new year brings about many emotions. If we look back on a year, we will find some ups and downs, some heartaches and some joys. I want to talk to us this morning in terms of reality about the emotions that we feel and the things that we all go through. I think it's very misleading to not acknowledge our humanness and the things that we all deal with. One of the great things about the Bible is that it's a book of great reality. My text this morning is from Lamentations, the Lamentations of Jeremiah. Not a lot of sermons are preached from there. We don't do a lot of reading there. We know a little of the context of that. God's judgment was upon Jerusalem. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. So he, along with David, I think are two of the most honest writers in all the Bible. In fact, a friend asked me recently, he said, I'm reading through the Psalms with my son who's in Christian school, and he said, I just can't grasp some of this. David talks about his righteousness, and he said, what a scoundrel he really was in some instances. And I said, well, that's the thing about the Psalms. The depth of human experience is poured out. David is prolific in writing, and he's a poet. Jeremiah also is a poet because the book of Lamentations is a series of Hebrew poems pouring out the heart. So I want to talk briefly this morning about some of the things that probably all of us in our honest moments have felt or are feeling or will feel from time to time. Also, I was influenced on this message by the word that came at the end of last Sunday's service from Brother Rod. If you remember, he felt he had a word for those who were feeling neglected, looked over, maybe that nobody cares, missing out. Those thoughts in mind provoked me and prompted me to develop this thought from Lamentations. And so, we're going to read this poem, three verses at a time, the way it's written. The poetic verses as they were originally penned by the author. And in each of those three verses, we will see a depth of human emotion that I want you to think about. Have I ever felt that way? Or am I feeling that way? So let's put it up on the screen, Lamentations chapter 3. And Teresa, we're going to look at the first three verses. I mean, it's not real optimistic at the beginning. In fact, it doesn't get optimistic until the end. So don't get so far down that you lose hope, because there's always hope. Jeremiah says, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. What in the world is the writer expressing here? I think he is expressing the distress of feeling abandoned by God. There were times that David expressed such emotions. There were times that Job, in all that he went through, expressed such emotions. There are times in our lives, when we're honest, that things are so arranged in our life and what we're going through that we feel abandoned by God. And I'm using the word feel because we know that we have this complex situation that God created us with feelings, but we do not live our lives by feelings but by faith. So there's that constant potential for turmoil in what we're feeling, and feelings are so strong. And that's why I love what Jeremiah writes, to allow us the freedom of expressing our feelings. You may have felt that way. I have felt that way. And I have talked to folks who feel hopeless because when I suggest to them that they look to God for help and strength. They have actually verbalized, I think God has forgotten about me. I don't even think God cares what happens to me. Those are honest feelings. And this is what Jeremiah is expressing. And he is believing at this moment in his feelings that God is responsible for it. He said, I am the man who God has put affliction upon. I am the man that God has turned his hand against. I am the man whom God has just time and time again made me walk in darkness instead of in light. That's a terrible place to be, and that's the feeling that Jeremiah was going through at this moment as he wrote. The feeling and distress of feeling abandoned by God. Let's read verses 4 through 6. This message isn't going to be long this morning, but I hope it speaks to hearts who are feeling things that need to be taken away and replaced by an assurance of hope. The writer says, he's aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. What's he expressing? He's expressing the emotional and physical distress that we all feel from time to time. How many folks in here this morning have felt better than you feel today? How many of you are feeling better today than you felt in a long time? I'm talking about feelings. You can kind of tell. You know, we have to deal with the reality of feelings. A lot of times folks will say, man, the Spirit was really with us last Sunday. The Lord was really present. A whole lot of that may have been we were all feeling a whole lot better. Because I got news for you. The Spirit's always with us. He indwells us. He goes with us wherever we go. But our feelings sometimes affect the way that we experience things. And so here, the writer is feeling the distress of sickness and of age. How many of us in here are feeling some of the effects of aging? It's a real thing. I didn't think much about planning my funeral when I was 20. I think about that pretty consistently now. I attend a lot of funerals of people my age. And so the feelings of death and of aging and our own mortality, those are feelings that affect us. And so Jeremiah says, he's aged my flesh and my skin. How many of you ladies, dare I dare go there? Wish your skin looked like it did when you were 18. I'm not going to wait for an answer. These are real things. They affect us. And so we have all these feelings. And Jeremiah says, why is this happening? Age, sickness, impending death. And he's just feeling so down. You know, you can get in that frame of mind. You can begin to feel God has abandoned you. You can begin to think about your health and it not being its best. You can begin to think about aging. You can begin to count all the things that are going wrong, and your feelings will just sink deeper and deeper and deeper. And so we read on, verses 7 through 9. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. You ever feel like your prayers are not being heard? You ever feel like your prayers are not being heard? What makes you feel that way? What makes you feel that your prayers aren't being heard? Is it because you're not seeing the answer that you expected? Have you prayed for something so long and continued to pray and it's never been answered the way you expected it to be answered? And so you can identify with Jeremiah. God must have shut his ears to my prayer. He doesn't even care what I'm saying. We've all probably been there at some time. How many people here, you can raise your hand or you don't have to. How many folks here have prayed for something that you've not seen come to pass the way you have prayed for it to come to pass? How are you feeling about that? How are you feeling about that? I want you to think about that. I want us to deal with the reality that we can identify with Jeremiah in this situation. All these feelings. God, you've been heavy on me. You shut out my prayers. It's like I'm buried under the weight of a hewn stone. I'm buried under the weight of all my problems. Lord, what am I going to do? I'm feeling this heaviness. And you don't even hear. You don't even answer when I cry. Let's read verses 10 through 12. He's still addressing God. He has been to me a bear lying in wait, like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for the arrow. Could those be some unnatural fears? I get the impression that at this point, although in those days a bear could be lying in wait, a lion could attack you, but these are almost unnatural fears. And he feels as though God is just lying in wait to get him. You know, I've said in times past, one of the most important parts of our life and our relationship with God is our perception of God. How we see him and how we view him makes all the difference in the world. And here Jeremiah expresses something that a lot of people really feel, and that is that God's out to get them. That God is just waiting for me to mess up, and he's against me. That's the way we feel. But we just sang this morning, if God is for us, who can be against us? That comes straight out of Scripture. That comes out of Romans. If God be for us, who can be against us? But our feelings deny that sometimes. Sometimes we get these unnatural fears. I've had folks come many times to this altar, and a part of what they want to pray for victory over are unnatural fears. That they're consumed by fear that something awful is going to happen. Living life in the expectation that the worst is going to happen. There are a lot of factors around that contribute to that. There is a lot of fear in the world. There's a lot of horror and devastation in the world. Every time I hear about a horrible car accident, I notice my fear level is frightened a little bit when any of my family, my children, my grandchildren, or my wife are on the road. You have to fight against being overcome by unnatural fear, thinking that the worst is going to happen, almost afraid to do anything because, oh, what might happen? You see, when we sink down into the depths of despair, our feelings begin to control us to such an extent that we lose sight of reality. And we function in a very unnatural and a very unhelpful kind of way. And so we see the prophet unfolding in this poem the distress of feeling abandoned by God, dealing with the stresses of aging and sickness and impending death, feeling that even when he prays, God doesn't even hear him. Then moving to unnatural fears and thinking that the worst is going to happen. What's next? Verses 13 through 15. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. As I thought about those three verses in a modern context, I'm saying he's moving into the depths of paranoia. The feeling that everybody and everything is against him. I used to work with a friend in the IT department when I was working in Louisville. And I'd say every once in a while when he was going, John, you're paranoid. And he'd say, Terry, you're not paranoid if everybody really is out to get you. A lot of folks feel that way. It's like the boy who quit the football team because every time the team got in a huddle, he thought they were talking about him. So he quit. You can become that paranoid that everything is against you, that everything that is said is directed against you, so the whole world is against you. God is against me. My family is against me. The church is against me. Nobody is for me. You can actually move into feelings of paranoia that everybody and everything is out to get you. And so Jeremiah is feeling that way. Here in his case, and it's important to note the context, he was the voice of God to a godless nation. Israel, Jerusalem and the people of Israel had forsaken God, and God was bringing judgment upon them, and he pleaded with them to return to God. And what happened? They threw him in the pit. They ridiculed him. They didn't want to hear anything he had to say. What makes life worse is when you know you're doing right, when you know you're following God, and nobody wants to listen, and everybody's against you, and you can get so down. There's a gem that we need to get hold of in that. And it's really important that we realize that if we know we're right, and if we're right with God, we have got to be able to be at peace with that and not allow feelings of paranoia to overcome us. I'll just share with you something that has struck me recently in a very familiar passage of Scripture. If we are to imitate Jesus to the extent that we can through the help of the Spirit, there are many things about Jesus that we can learn. One of the things that struck me recently is what Paul said when he was writing that wonderful passage in Philippians, that Christ came down from heaven, took the form of a man, emptied himself, took the form of a servant, became obedient even to death, made himself, in there Paul says, made himself of no reputation. We can read over that sometimes and miss it. Catch it. He made himself of no reputation. Why would Jesus do that? How could he do that? Because he knew he was in the will of the Father. And so, the folks who called him a drunkard didn't bother him. His reputation was shot. It didn't bother him. The folks who said he was a glutton, that didn't bother him. He was of no reputation because he was right with the Father. The folks who said you hang out with the wrong sort, the prostitutes and the tax collectors, shot his reputation, didn't bother him because he was right with the Father. Jesus didn't become paranoid. You and I sometimes allow wanting to make ourselves of a great reputation to the point that we're more concerned about what other people think than what God thinks. My point in this is, be at peace knowing that you're right with God. And when you are in that situation, when other folks say or criticize or ridicule, you don't have to be paranoid. You can be right in the same step that Jesus was in here on earth. But Jeremiah wasn't feeling that way. He wanted folks to listen to him. It's not easy. As a preacher, I can tell you it's a whole lot easier when you preach and folks say that was a good sermon or I got something out of that. If you're preaching and everybody is being critical, and it's hard to not become paranoid. And Jeremiah was feeling that. So, what's he going to do? What is he going to do? We come to the part where he begins to move in the right direction. Verses 16 through 18. He's still feeling oppressed by God. He has also broken my teeth with gravel, covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Here he comes to this point where the word prosperity can be translated, I've good. Jeremiah has at this point brought himself to the place that he said, I can't remember anything good. I see no good. I can find no good in anything. My whole life, Jeremiah is saying, is marked by all that's bad, all the despair, all the feelings that God has totally forgotten me. I can't even remember a blessing. I've just don't see anything good. Remember last Sunday when Rod gave that word, he said, maybe there's someone here who's feeling that you're just neglected, overlooked, and that nobody cares. That feeling can entrap and engulf us. That could have been spoken for a lot of folks who were feeling that at that moment. But again today, for anyone or that specific one, there is a message of hope. And we can overcome these great feelings of despair and being forgotten by God and that there's nothing good in the world at all. That's a terrible place to live day in and day out. Thank God most of us who go through that come out on the other side with hope. But I'm convinced there are folks who almost live every day of their lives with these feelings of depression, feelings of abandonment, feelings that there's nothing good at all. And what a heavy, heavy place to be. And so he begins then to reflect on past blessings, 19 through 21. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. He's going to turn the page here in just a moment. He realizes that reflecting on past blessings is one of the ways to come out of the mire of despair. The hymn writer was exactly right when he penned those words, count your many blessings. We would do well to hear those words because they capture the essence of feeling that we have and that Jeremiah had. And so what's he going to do? How are you going to count your blessings? Well, first of all, Jeremiah expresses that he needs to stop and think. There is a point in life when we're on a downward spiral, wherever it is, whether it's a prodigal wandering from God or a believer lost in the depths of despair. There is a time when we need to, as it said in the story of the prodigal son, come to ourselves, come to our senses, stop and think, evaluate this situation properly, think straight instead of being caught up in the thinking that is so negative and so defeating. So he begins to think, I need to go to God and I need to remember his blessings. And so when Johnson Oatman, the great hymn writer, penned these words, you'll get something from them. Think about them again. We don't just sing it at Thanksgiving. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you're discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you're called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you'll be singing as the days go by. And when you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven, your home on high. So, amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. I want somebody this morning, quickly, to stand up and tell me one of your blessings. Now? Right now. Okay, ladies first. Okay, Brian.
It's a new society we live in now. No, I just thank God for my blessings over the past past couple years of getting through school, just to help my family, to sacrifice so much, and God has really blessed us to get through that. So that's one thing I'm thankful for.
Amen. Peggy?
I'm thankful for the Word, because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have gotten through any of it.
Amen. Somebody else was over here. There was a third person, I thought. Denise.
I'm thankful to be here.
Yes. Knowing all the things that you health and you're here. Was there somebody else? Okay. That's a sampling. That's all I'm saying. When people begin to count their blessings, the mood begins to change. Our feelings begin to change. We begin moving in the right direction. So notice what he does as he begins to recall to mind some of the things. Verses 22 through the end of our text. This is what he remembers, and therefore I have hope. He says, through the Lord's mercies we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And so through all of that emotional downtime that Jeremiah experienced, he comes to a place of positive living when he thinks for a moment, this isn't right. What I'm thinking is forgetting everything that I know, everything that I've experienced. I've allowed the darkness to so blind me that I've forgotten there was ever any goodness. And so he begins to reflect on those blessings. And he then is moved to realize it's the mercy of the Lord. Every day is a new day. I don't know who it was that penned the phrase years ago, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And that is true, because Lamentations says his mercy is new every day. Do you want to live in the past? Do you want to live in the gloom of what used to be, or the fear of what might be? When you have blessings that you can count, when you have a Creator who is faithful, when we have a Savior who has promised to allow every day to be a new day. You know, in golf, the pencils don't have erasers on them, because in the serious game of golf, you don't change your score. But for guys like me and most of us, there's a thing called a mulligan. And sometimes there's one on every hole. It's a do-over. It's one of the things that you don't get in most experiences except in the Christian life. Every day is a new day. The mercy of the Lord is new this morning. Whatever happened last week, whatever happened last year, whatever happened 5 minutes before you got here, not only is the mercy of the Lord new every day, it's new every time we ask for it and reach out for it. And so Jeremiah begins to remember this, and his faith grows. And he echoes what the Hebrew writer would write, that we should imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You see, a lot of times we try to separate faith from patience. We think that faith is a formula for instant gratification. Faith is the formula for continual trust in a faithful Creator. Faith is linked intimately with patience. So if you've been praying and you haven't seen the answer that you want, be patient. Don't believe that God isn't hearing. Believe that you have a faithful Creator who knows exactly what is best. These are the things that I would encourage us to incorporate into our hearts. If you're a person who was feeling that abandonment, that neglect, that you don't matter, that you don't really count, this message is for you. For every one of us who've gone through at least moments of this kind of despair and feeling, this message is for all of us. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in His daily fresh mercy. Let's stand together. And I confess to you, my energy level was not the greatest. My cold has affected my speech. And I'm not real satisfied with the dynamics of my message. But I'm trusting the Lord that His Word speak to our hearts this morning. If you have a need that we can pray with you about, please respond as the Lord moves upon your heart.
heart turns to stone, and I'm left with no strength to arise. How you need to be lifted high. Sin and its ways lead to pain. Left here with hurt and with shame. So no longer will I leave your side. Jesus, you be lifted high. You be lifted high. You be lifted high. And I fall to my knees, so it's you that they see, not I. Jesus, you be lifted high. Even now that I'm inside your hands, help me not to grow prideful again. Don't let me forsake sacrifice. Jesus, you be. If I'm blessed with the riches of kings, how could I ever think that it was me? For you brought me from darkness to light. Jesus, you be lifted high. You be lifted high. You be lifted high. Fall to my knees, so it's you that they see, not I. Jesus, you be lifted high. Oh, Jesus, you be lifted high. You be lifted high. You be lifted high in my life, oh God. And I fall to my knees, so it's you that they see, not I. Jesus, you be lifted high. And I fall to my knees, so it's you that they see, not I. Jesus, you be lifted high.
So we're doing breathe.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. You are the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. You are my daily bread. You are my daily bread. Your very word spoken.
Someone who's praying for a door to open. Someone's praying for a door to open. The word from the Lord is, He has that door in His hand, and He will open that door. He will open that door in His time and in His way. Is that accurate, brother? Yeah. Amen. If there's someone here today when we dismiss unofficially, and you'd like to talk with any of the elders, you'd like for us to pray with you, we're in no rush. We'll be here. We'll talk with you. We'll pray with you. We'll encourage you in the word of the Lord. Thank you for your very kind attention this morning, your patience through my voice. And I just trust that it was the word of the Lord that spoke to hearts this morning in one way or in a small way or in some way to each heart. Now may the Lord bless you and the Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord make His countenance upon thee and give you peace. You are dismissed.